You have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to John chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. More than these. Peter, do you love me? More than these. I remember a number of years ago, my father-in-law, Barbara's daddy, and I, he wanted to go see the OU Texas game, the Cotton Bowl down at Dallas, and we didn't have tickets. And so I thought, well, all right, if you want to go, we'll go and we'll take a chance on trying to get tickets. Well, needless to say, we got blessed that day because we had a man and his wife come up and they had two extra tickets. And they were OU fans and they had tickets right on the 50-yard line. If you've ever been to the Red River Shootout, one half of the stadium is Oklahoma. The other half is Texas. It's hard for me to say that word, you know. But I was sitting right there on the aisle, you know. And when OU would do something good, I mean half the stadium jumped up and I looked over and they were just sitting like this, you know, holding their hands. And then when Texas did something, we did the same. You know, we imitated what they had done. But, you know, we can get so excited about football, basketball, baseball. And I'm a sports fan. You know that. And I love sports. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice to see folks get equally excited about the church and about the Lord's work? There are folks that are dying, going to hell all around us. We don't seem to get too excited about that. We don't seem to care like we ought to. You know, when you watch a football game, you know, the backs, the quarterback, the running backs, they seem to get all the credit. But if it wasn't for those linemen up there, those big guys, you know, that knock a hole in the line to where that the running back or the quarterback can have time to throw the ball or they can run through the hole. If it wasn't for them, they couldn't win the ball game. In the same way, the everyday Christian is the backbone of the church. We have a lot of famous preachers, evangelists, pastors, but shepherds don't reproduce sheep. Sheep do. And if the gospel is to reach the ends of the earth, then it must be that the ordinary Christians take it to them, those that fill the pews. You see, we've got a responsibility this morning to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came in order to be a servant. We're to emulate him. We are a servant this morning. If you are a believer, you are a servant of God. You may not know it. You may not act like it. And you may not always live like a servant of God ought to live. But you are a servant of the Lord. So I want to consider with you this morning the question that Jesus asked of Peter. And I think we will find in this question that God will reveal unto us what he expects of us, what he expects of a servant. There is a condition for service. And I think this is the most important thing in the message this morning. Three times Jesus examines Peter and he commissions him to service. But before he got to that point, he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Now, more than anything else, Christ wanted to know that he was loved. Still today, we have that question asked of us, do we love Jesus? And I think automatically we all would say, yes, I love Jesus. That's why I'm here today. Do you love him more than these things? You see, we've got a lot of things in our life, don't we? We've got a lot of stuff in our life. Do we love him more than these things? Perhaps Jesus was saying, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Am I dearer to you than your closest friend or family? Now, I know this is hard, what I'm about to say. But we're to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than we love our mate. More than we love our children. I'm convinced that if we love him like we ought to love him, we will have a greater capacity to love our children and to love our mate. Or do you love me more than these fishing nets and boats? In contrast, Peter had just abandoned his fishing boat, and you remember that he was all excited, and in a flash of excitement, he jumps overboard when he saw Jesus on shore, and he began to swim until he got to the shore. When he got there, Jesus said, are you truly more devoted to me than you are your boats and your nets and your fishing business? Or was this just a demonstration? But do you really love me, Peter? To us, Jesus might say, is your attendance at church, is it a indicator, a genuine indicator that you love me more than all of these? You see, is your mind sometimes in church when we say that we love him, that's why we're here, but is our mind sometimes on that football game that's coming up? Or on that shopping excursion? Or on that fishing trip? Or on that golfing trip? Or whatever it is that we've got scheduled and planned, we think about that during church and we rob ourselves of what God wants to do for us. Brethren, when you come into the house of God, you need to clear your mind of all the stuff that's in your mind. Empty yourself that you might be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Do you love me more than these? Maybe these words meant, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? You remember, Peter, on one occasion there, that night of my betrayal and the time of the scourging, you said, when I said, you'll fall away, you said, not me, Lord.
Said, Lord, you can depend on me. I'll be there when everybody else leaves, but I'll stand firm. And Jesus told him before the night was over that he'd deny him three times. Are your devotion to these things betray a lack of love for me? You go to a ball game, and I've been to a lot of them. People are so excited. I mean, you don't see anybody just sitting on their hands unless their team is just getting slaughtered. Everybody gets excited when somebody does something good. They get excited. They jump up and down and they holler, raise their hands. In church, we're yawning and look at our watch. When's it going to be over? Kind of like this young boy. When I was pastoring the Kavanaugh Church, and his daddy was one of the board members. And anyway, they didn't miss, you know. He was Bob Butler's boy. Monty, he's an orthopedic surgeon now. And they went to revival every night. Now, he'd been used to playing sports, baseball, and stuff like that. And he said, Daddy, when is this church season going to be over? But you know, we can get all excited about sports. We don't get excited about church. I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing that can ever happen is to see somebody walk down the aisle as a sinner, bow on their knees and confess their sins to God and invite Jesus into their heart and get up a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, that's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing that can ever happen to us. Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, Peter changes the words. Jesus used agape love. That's the kind of love we find in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he uses phileo, which is a friendship type of love. He said, Lord, you know I'm your friend. When we evaluate love, we need to follow Peter's example. We need to come and humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, you know everything. And he does know everything. He knows everything. And I want to do the best that I can in order that I might be able to say, Lord, you know that I love you. And he looks in my heart and he knows that's true. Because you see, he's omniscient. You can't pull the wool over on God's eyes, can you? God knows if we love him. God knows if we're faithful. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So God knows and he understands. Well, in the first two questions, Jesus used the term agape, suggesting pure, holy love. And Peter responds with phileo, suggesting friendship. Jesus turns it around the third time that he talks to him, and he uses the word that Peter used, phileo. He said, Peter, are you really my friend? Are you really my friend? You say that you are my friend, but are you really my friend? And it broke Peter's heart. You see, I really believe that The fact that the Lord asked him three times, it reminded him of his betrayal, but I think it also did something else. It reminded him of the fact that his love wasn't all that it should be. And he was challenged and grieved by the words, "Peter, do you love me? Are you really my friend? Can I count on you?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know I'm a friend. And I'm going to tell you that my love may not be all that it should be, but I'm working on it." Now, your love may not be all that it should be this morning, but the question is, are you working on it? You see, I'm convinced that we're just servants in the house of God, and nobody here is perfect. Yeah, I wish that we were, but we're not. We're making our efforts with God's help to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are trying our best to be what he wants us to be. And if we love him, even as a friend, he'll help our love to grow to where we can be what he wants us to be. You see, we don't need to give up because our love is not all that it ought to be, but we ought to strive to increase our love and devotion to him. Well, there's a good reminder for us. Peter wrote years later, he said, "Like newborn babes, they long for the sincere milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation." It's a good reminder. A good reminder, because a constant diet of scriptural teaching is not in vogue today. People don't want a steady diet of it. It's not our job to come and tickle the lamb's ears or to entertain the lambs. It's our job to preach the word of truth. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, preach the truth. We're not here to entertain, but we're to preach the truth. The second part of the commission, which differs slightly from the first, is he tells us, "Shepherd my sheep." The first was, "Tend my lambs," that is, the young new converts. Then they have grown up to become even more mature now as a Christian. But you know, Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, that we're like sheep without shepherd. I remind you this morning that everybody needs the church. Everybody needs somebody that cares for them. That's why this church is so important. It's important to you and your family. It's important to me and my family. It's important that we realize that we have a responsibility in the church, that we're to emulate his love to one another. We're to love as he loved. I'm to love you, you're to love me, we're to work together in order to accomplish the work of God in this church. This community, to some extent, depends on us. Nobody can do what we can do. Nobody will do what we can do and what we should do. It's our job. God depends on us. It's his church, and we're just servants in the house of God. The beautiful thing about this commission is that Jesus invites us to share in his great work. Peter called him the Good Shepherd, and later he called him the Great Shepherd or the Chief Shepherd. It is our job to tend the sheep. You remember Moses, before God allowed him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, He sent him to the backside of the desert for 40 years, tending sheep. Remember King David, the great king of Israel, the man whose heart was after the image of God. David was a shepherd when the Lord called him. Tend my sheep. You see, it's all about others. It's not just about you, and it's not just about me. It's about others. It's always been others. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross. Others. He could eliminate a lot of pain and discomfort had he just remained in heaven. But because he loved us, he condescended from heaven's glory, robed himself in human flesh, and he dwelt among us for 33 years for the purpose of dying upon the cross for your sins, my sins, that we might be children of God. This morning, is he your shepherd? Is he the shepherd of your life? Do you love him with all your heart? The good news is that if you say this morning, preacher, my love for him is not all that it should be, but I'm a work in progress. I'm striving to love him more. I'm striving to be a better servant. I'm striving to be more of what he wants me to be. I ask you this morning, if your love is not what it ought to be, or if you're here and you've never really given your love to him, if you go to Calvary and see those arms outstretched and the nails prints in his hands and in his feet, you see that blood flowing, and know that he died and shed his life blood for the remission of sins. That's your sins and mine. And what he asked is that we come to him, and if we do, we'll find forgiveness at the foot of the cross. That life-giving flow will come over our lives when we exercise believing faith, and he'll cleanse us of all of our sins, and we'll get up a new creature in Christ Jesus and leave this house with our hearts being right with God, our name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we start the journey of love to be what God wants us to be. Will you bow your heads for a word of prayer?